In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The sermon this morning is on the Epistle, Ephesians 4. And the sermon is about the church and her true unity. Church is a word that we usually take to mean this building or the service that happens here. But the word church originally and simply means a gathering. People called out and gathered for some purpose. And Jesus himself chose this not really religious word to describe this body, his body. The church is Jesus' idea. It is his institution because he instituted it when he shed his holy, precious blood for our redemption. Gathers us together to himself by the Holy Spirit, who works through the message of his cross. This is what we call the gospel, the good news of forgiveness in Jesus' name. The church is nothing more than this: the congregation of saints in which the gospel is purely taught and the sacraments are correctly administered. That is what our Augsburg Confession of the Faith says. The word and the sacraments are how the Holy Spirit calls people out and gathers them together to Jesus Christ. They are what create the church. They are what sustain this church. And those, the word and the sacraments, are the marks by which you can recognize the church. Because the building, or the music, or the service, or even the guy leading it, don't guarantee anything. The marks of the true church are these: the gospel, purely preached in all of its articles, and the sacraments, rightly administered. And we confess that this holy Christian and apostolic church created by those means is one. It is united, as we just confessed in the Creed. Again, our Augsburg Confession says this: it is enough for the true unity of the church to agree about the doctrine of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. That is all it takes. So easy, right? Well, look around you. How united is the church on earth? Now, we learn to say in the Creed, as we just did, "I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church." The key word there is, "I believe this." It's an article of faith, and faith is being certain of what you do not see. We don't see the church. We look around and we see many churches. And if the church isn't a building, which it's not really, you can't go around and be naive and think that all of the churches around here are just different locations of the same franchise. The church is the saints gathered around the word and the sacraments. So that is where you will find then the differences in churches. The word and the sacraments, that is what divides the churches in Barney, and Great Bend, and Gwinner, and Belford, from the churches that are in Mandador, or Winemere, or Milner, or Morton. It's enough for the true unity of the church that the gospel be preached according to a pure understanding of it, and that the sacraments be administered in accordance with the divine word. And it isn't just enough as if this were a small task. It is enough because these things and these things alone are truly the necessary requirement. The pure doctrine of the gospel in all of its articles and the right administration of Christ's sacraments, these things are what make the unity of the church. They're what make the church. And this unity of the church, St. Paul calls by this name. He says it is the unity of the Spirit. Why call it that? It's because the Spirit knows, and Paul knows just as well as we do, there are plenty of ways to join people together, to unite them up and get them all together. Plenty of ways that we can organize and unite ourselves. And all of those ways aren't enough. Why does one united Christian church elude us to this day? It is because what people love about the church, what draws them together, what keeps them together, usually isn't the church at all. It's the things that surround the church, the things that are the byproducts and the symptoms, you could say, of the church, but not the heart of it. Again, from our confessions, it's not necessary that human traditions, rites, or ceremonies instituted by men be the same everywhere. And yet, these are the things by which we usually judge the church at first, aren't they? I want good music. I don't want to have to drive very far. I want an active, fun youth program to drop my kids off at. All the people at this place had better vote Democrat or Republican. I want a nice elevator. I want a children's program with candles at silent night, sung in German on every Christmas Eve service. Or I want to go to church with my friends and not with those girls. I hope it sounds a little silly when I say all these things out loud. And I also hope that you join me in repenting. These are the kinds of things that we actually say. I've put these things first before too. I've been lazy, and I thought it'd be enough just to look for the name Lutheran on a sign and figure that must be the church. And I think that's the right word for it too. Lazy. Or maybe apathetic. We don't want to put forth very much effort, and we don't really care that much. We just say, like anything else, I know what I like. I'll know in 5 minutes whether I like this church. It's easy to go shopping for a church. It's easy to find something that you are going to gather yourself into. Find a church that fits you. It's a little harder, I admit, to ask the question, where is the true church? To look past the external packaging and the branding to the heart of the matter and what actually is important. What the church is. What's its source? It turns out, though, that that is the whole thing. That is the enough. It is enough to have the pure teaching of God's word. It is enough to have the sacraments rightly administered, and it is necessary to have those things. Caring about those, the teaching and the administration, not of human traditions, which are different all over the place, but caring about the teaching and the administration of God's traditions, His gifts. That isn't just part of church. That is what makes the church. And so much is at stake. It isn't even that you're just maybe going to end up in the wrong church for you. It's that you might not actually be part of the church at all in the end. Now, dear saints, we are reaping in our day the fruit of all of our indifference to the unity of the Spirit. Our indifference and not caring about holding fast the faith. If you're someone who wants more people in our little Lutheran church, and if you want them to hear it for the right reasons, not just for their money, then realize that you have to actually want there to be more Lutherans. You want people who know what they believe and why they believe it. You want people who are eager, as Paul tells us in today's epistle, eager to stick together with each other, with us too, to help each other grow, maybe even painfully so, in that unity of the Spirit. Instead, who has heard or even thought and said this? I don't care what church my kids go to. Just as long as it's something, just as long as they're happy, then I'll be happy too. When you say that, you are saying that I am not concerned with maintaining the unity of the Spirit. I am not concerned with the true teaching and the right sacraments. I'm not concerned with the church as Christ's institution. Any institution will do. Now, either such a person is lazy, it'd just be too much work to investigate, to learn what churches teach, and then to ask the question, is this what the Scriptures teach? Or such a person is apathetic. That means they don't care. Doctrine and religion. That must be a really silly thing to fight over, right? Because it's not as important as so many other things as, well, you fill in the blank. Whatever your real God is. Whatever you have come to think is more important than God. And more important than his actual words to you. Now, how dare we be surprised then when those kids not only leave the Lutheran Church, but soon after that abandon Christianity altogether? That is, I think, the logical conclusion. Either you're a Christian for the teaching, you want to be united and gathered together by the Spirit into the truth, into something that's actually true and instituted by God. Or else you're just finding something to fill time on Sunday morning. Maybe something just to please yourself. Jesus Christ is only going to get in the way of pleasing yourself. Hear then what St. Paul wrote to the church. And I mean the church, not just the congregation in Ephesus. I, Paul, I'm literally in jail right now for the Lord. And I urge all of you who aren't chained at the legs to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Do it with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, and here's the key part, eager to maintain or to hold fast the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Hold fast, Paul says. Hold fast to a unity that you didn't create. It's the unity of the Spirit. It is from the Holy Spirit. It is by Him, and it is given to you to hold fast, to keep, to treasure. By God's grace, you, dear saints, are heirs of the truth. You've been called to faith by water and the Spirit in holy baptism. You have been given the proper teaching. You've heard the pure gospel of the forgiveness of your sins for Christ's sake. And you have even tasted the Lord's peace. And this is what has united you together, us together, into one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Catholic, by the way, means that it's not just here and now, but you are united to all, the whole mass of faithful Christians from Adam all the way up through the saints who haven't even been born yet. This is who you are. This is what you have been given. Paul says, guard it, hold fast, preserve it. It's the only necessary thing. Programs that we cook up, vestments, church instruments, traditions, these might actually be ways of maintaining that unity. But they aren't what actually unites us. What matters is the doctrine, which means what matters is the teaching according to God's word and His institution. It's enough, it's sufficient, and it's entirely necessary for the true unity of the church that the gospel be rightly preached and that the sacraments be properly administered. Keep also the bond of peace with your fellow Christians who might not be your friends, who might not like the same sports team or the same kind of music that you like or any other things that could divide us or, alternatively, could be a uniting factor to join us together. Maybe this is the German church, or maybe this is the Democrat church, or who knows what. Keep the bond of peace with people even if you don't agree with them or like them. But know that the unity of our congregation, of the church, all of it, that comes not from the things that we do, but from the Holy Spirit. Through the Word of God. It doesn't come through our peacefulness with each other or our lovingness toward each other. And that means it's also not ruined by our unlovingness to each other, our bickering spirits. Thank God for that. And then Paul says, there is one body, one church, and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. And then these three wonderful words. One Lord, that's Jesus Christ, true God and man, Savior of all men and especially those who believe. One faith, not your personal, carved out, personalized faith, but the faith. Once and for all delivered to the saints, of which you are one, that faith and confession that come from the true teaching of the gospel in all of its articles. And one baptism, God's promise to you. And unless you call God a liar, one promise is all it takes. That will last forever. And one baptism of water with the word, one baptism of water and the Spirit together, in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And thus we are eager, dear saints, not that our efforts can ever unite the Christian church in this lifetime, we simply are holding fast. We guard this treasure that has been given to us, administered to us, yeah, just like Paul says, by muddy crackpots. This church, despised by the world, and to our shame, sometimes us too. So let us say with Isaiah, back to the teaching and to the testimony. Back to the Word of God, back to His institution. Back to His gifts. We've been called and united in one body in the Holy Trinity, into whom we are baptized, in whom we believe, in whom we have hope for eternity. And so as you go home this week, if you want, take a hymnal with you and pray today's closing hymn that we're about to sing with your family each night. Do it for yourself. Do it for me, your pastor. Do it for the church that we look around and we see everywhere that's divided in all sorts of ways by every kind of false teaching in this life. And yet, do it for our little congregation, the Holy Catholic Church here in this place. In these last days of great distress, grant us, dear Lord, true steadfastness, that we keep pure till life is spent your holy word and sacrament. Stay with us, Lord, and keep us true. Preserve our faith our whole life through. Your word alone, our heart's defense, and the church's glorious confidence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.